Do they? His rod and staff? You say it. Do you know how? They do. I can answer that for you. If you're following him, they are comforting you. You may not know how or why or in what way. And my goal today, by the grace of God, is to help you understand that better. We this is a tough passage because we preach on it. We learn it. We're all quoting it. I learned it at 8 years old. Anybody younger than that? Maybe six. I've known it a long time. Here I am, nearly 50 years old. We've heard it all our lives. We've memorized it. We've heard people preach on it. We quote it to ourselves. One of the most quoted verses is with reference to our personal lives. Just tell me if these sound familiar. When you're afraid, what do you say? I will fear no evil, right? When you go shopping, what do you say? I shall not want. Come on. Come on. When you're blessed, you say, my cup runneth over, right? When you feel persecuted, he set the table before my enemies. I mean, these are things that we say, I know I do. And that's the way it ought to be. I mean, this is an awesome passage. This is such an incredible psalm and such an incredible portion of Scripture. And we absolutely need to incorporate it in our lives in that very same way. Except for the fact that we don't hear, how often do you quote to yourself, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me? I mean, it's not a common thing because it's not common. We don't understand it. And for lack of understanding, we're not able to apply it. Now, like I said, it is comforting you, but you just don't understand why. And by the grace of God, we're going to get to the bottom of that today. Our task in understanding the psalm is sort of uphill because we're not agrarian. This is a shepherd talking about sheep, and we're not agrarian. And even though those of us who are, maybe here in Texas, we deal with cattle and not so much sheep. And so we don't understand sheep. We don't understand shepherds, and we spent quite a bit of time, most of the time, in fact, talking about what a sheep does, actually, and how they're not very smart, and the fact that our needs and what we're capable of and incapable of, and how the kind of things that we need. And so we don't talk a whole lot about the shepherd because obviously God's the shepherd, but we need to understand how he functions. And so what I thought we would do today is have a tutorial on shepherds, in particular the implements that they use. They're spoken of here in Psalm 23, the rod and the staff. But there's another implement that I want to also talk about, at least briefly. A shepherd typically would have three tools at his discretion, at his disposal, when he was shepherding sheep. The first two you're going to be more familiar with than are the first and the last you're going to be more familiar with than the middle one. The first tool was a slingshot. They would carry a slingshot. You see David showing up at the battle between Israel and the Philistines. And he goes out on the battlefield with Goliath with a slingshot and with a stick. The slingshot is a common implement of a shepherd. It would be natural what is he doing? He didn't come to fight Goliath. He came there to bring food for his brothers, if you remember the story. But he shows up with what otherwise a shepherd would always have with him. A slingshot, a stick, and even though we're not told that, we can assume he had also his staff probably with him as well. But consider just what it says here in 1 Samuel chapter 17. This is as David is stepping out on the battlefield to fight the giant Goliath. It says he took his stick in his hand. What stick? It's a very specific stick. It's not any stick. It is specifically his stick, and it's not the shepherd's crook it's talking about. It's talking about the rod. Thy rod and thy staff, just for your information, but you need that information. In his hand, five smooth stones from the brook, and he put them in his shepherd's bag. We don't even hear the stick because we always think about, well, David killed Goliath with a slingshot, which he did. I'm not trying to take away from the story. But I want you to notice he steps on the field with two of the three implements that a shepherd would always have with him. The stick and a slingshot. And the Philistine said, notice, he doesn't notice the slingshot, he notices the stick. Said to David, am I a dog? Do you come at me with sticks? What stick? It's the rod. So slingshot, rod, mentioned both of these here in this story in Samuel. And then also the shepherd's staff, which is this shepherd's crook, which we more iconically recognize as being that belonging to a shepherd. We're talking about these. We're going to be breaking down the last two, because they're mentioned here in Psalm 23. The rod and the staff. The first one we're going to look at is this rod. David is in a battle with Goliath, and we see a glimpse, at least, information of how he would use this, what would be, it's called here in that translation at least, a stick. And given an insight about the standard tools of a shepherd, but we only read part of it. Let's read some conversations that he has with Saul prior to stepping onto the battlefield about this particular stick. Let's back up just a couple of verses. By the way, there's an image for you. The rod is this bat-looking thing up there with this loop handle. And the staff is this shepherd's crook, just a visual. We'll put it back up there in just a minute. But I want us to look at this verse here in 1 Samuel, first of all. Chapter 17, David said to Saul, and this is, he's come down. He's heard Goliath challenging and defying the armies of Israel, the armies, as he said, of the living God. And he's about to go out to battle, and Saul stops him and says, man, you don't want to do this. This guy is a giant, number one. He's been a soldier since he's been a child. And he's saying, basically, you're still a child. You don't need to go out there. You're going to get your head cut off. And David says, not a problem. I've dealt with something like this before. And notice what he says here. And there's some wow. There's a wow factor in this, but we miss it sometimes. Because we emphasize, we only think about a slingshot. We only think about Goliath. And we negate the fact that he talks about other things. And he talks about killing stuff that's equivalent to Goliath prior to this event. Notice. David says to Saul, your servant was tending his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, notice it says, and if the story stopped right there, and this was a story about Pastor Bill, what it would say was, is I ran up the tallest tree I could possibly find and hid. And when I got home, my dad says, where are these sheep? And I said, I don't know, Dad, but you don't want me going out there after those sheep, do you? I mean, it was a lion. It was a bear, right? Well, that's not the way David operated. You come and take his sheep, he took it very personally, you see. I, notice he says, went out after him. Hello? Who does that? Apparently this guy does. Attacked him. What? Rescued it from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by his beard and struck him and killed him. This isn't a figurative lion. These are African lions that roamed the northern part of Africa and the Middle East. This is a lion, okay? Bear, he's talking about here. Notice he says, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. Everybody say, wow. This is a kid. And I don't, he may have been a scrawny kid, but he was absolutely fierce with something that he uses to strike these animals with. That something, by the way, is the same stick he takes in his hand when he steps out on the battlefield against Goliath along with his slingshot. He never uses it. He didn't have to, because Goliath is dead at a distance before he ever gets up to him. But he had a closer range weapon, and it was this, what otherwise was referred to as stick. It's the same word in the Hebrew in Psalm. A rod. Fierce with it. Formidable with it. This rod is interesting, both the word and the implications of this word, as we read the Old Testament and the New Testament, for that matter. It's the same word, by the way, that word rod. The same implement, I would suggest to you. In fact, I would almost guarantee you. That is used to get this by Jesus when he comes back in his second coming. And the same implement that he uses to rule during his millennial reign. Why do I say that? We've already studied Psalm. There it is again. Psalm 2, verses 8 and 9. Jesus quoting his father in this case. That's all the psalm is, a conversation between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In this case, this is Jesus quoting what his father has already said to him. Ask of me. This is what the father told me. Ask of me. And I will surely give you the nations as your inheritance and the very ends of the earth as your possession. That's when he's coming, guys. And when he does, nobody's going to need to tell you because it will be clear. And you will break them, notice, with what? With a rod. Same exact word you have here in Psalm 23. With a rod of iron. Now, you're thinking it's something different than a shepherd's tool. It's not. It is the same weapon. Of iron in this case, if David didn't have something like that, but it's the same implement. Referring to the same job, by the way, that David had. The reason why David chose the implements of a shepherd, because that's what he was. Why does Jesus carry the same implements? That's what he is. All the way through the scriptures, front to back, top to bottom, every level, Jesus is referred to as a shepherd. And we, guys, listen, are referred to as sheep. For him to do his job, for him to be in his place in your life, you have to be in your place. That's what we've been after here, studying Psalm 23, if you will, forgive me, to put you in your place. You are sheep. I'm a sheep. You're a sheep. All God's children, right? They're sheep. Sheep are what's the most important thing we need to know about sheep? They are dumb. They have to have a shepherd. Always in their life. There cannot be a moment when they don't have the shepherd, or when they're not following the shepherd, when they're not near the shepherd. They don't need Jesus in the morning. They don't need Jesus in the evening. They don't need Jesus at night. They need him at all times, all moments. A person that's growing in Christ and is maturing in Christ is a person who will tell you, I need Jesus at all times of the day. Not a person who can quote the Bible to you. The Pharisees quoted the Bible, Jesus, accurately, even though they interpreted it wrong. So you tell me you know the Bible. How are you different than the Pharisees? You show me that the Bible that you've learned has made you go closer to Jesus, and now I know you're different than the Pharisees because you know you're a sheep. Do you know you're a sheep? Whether you know you're not, by the way, a typical attitude of a sheep and the fact that you are a sheep is to think that you're not a sheep. Even more so, we know you're a sheep because you're just that dumb. So I'm sorry to put you in your place, but for Jesus to be in his place in your life as shepherd, you've got to be in your place. And if you're not, he still is, but not near in the way you want him to be. You want to be close to him at all times, not running from him, because we're going to learn that he uses this rod on our enemies, but he also uses it on us. So we're going to get to that. But by the way, back to this whole reference of Jesus using the rod, one of the oldest references to Jesus in the Bible, way back in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 24, verse 17, is, by the way, the same prophecy that the wise men were following at Jesus' birth. They were expecting a star because I think probably they were taught by Daniel, because Daniel was one of these magi guys. And they were expecting the star because it was written in the scriptures. A star shall come forth from Jacob. That's the reason why they traveled 2,000 miles or and some change to find this star and the one underneath it. Notice it says, a scepter shall rise from Israel. Of course, we read that, and that's the interpretation of the New American Standard. We read that to say a king, right? And that's what Jesus was and still is, and the star represented him. But that word, guys, we interpreted it scepter, but guess what word it is? It's the same word in Psalm 23, the rod. The rod, all the way through the scriptures, he's referred to as a shepherd, which means if you want him to be that way in your life, you need to understand that you're a sheep. You're a sheep. You need a shepherd at all times. Well, this rod, let's get back to it. This rod, this baseball bat thing, if you will, had some interesting, the way it was, came about. The rod was made, more often than not, from the tap root of the trees that grew in this arid region of Israel. What they would do, this tap root starts at the bottom of where all the roots feed out. Tap root goes straight down like a cone into the ground. They would take and dig this up, cut off the tap root. The bottom pointed part they would shape so that it would fit the hand really well. And they would cut off the roots on the top of it so that it made like this knob, this ball at the top of it. It was like a weighted club. And they would carry it either on the hand with a little strap, you see that strap up there, or they would hang it around their belt, kind of like a billy club that a policeman would carry, except it was a little bit bigger. And they were formidable with it. It was everything for them. They carried it everywhere they went. It was the standard armament, if you will. By the way, Jesus comes back. He doesn't come back with an AK-47. He doesn't come back with a bazooka. He doesn't come back with a tank. As his choice of weapons, he comes back with the weapon of a shepherd. Isn't that interesting? I just think that's interesting. Of all the implements, of all the things he could have demonstrated that he is over us and he's going to rule over us, he uses that rod as a demonstration of that. Well, a shepherd would take this rod, and they would train with it, and they were very good with it. I mean, for crying out loud, a lion attacks your dad's flock or a bear, and you kill him with it, I would say you're pretty good. I would say you're pretty tough. David would do that, but David wasn't unique in that. That's the way these guys operated. They lived in a tough world. They defended their sheep primarily either as an extension of their arm, they used it as a bat, or they would unstrap it from their arm and they could throw it accurately and in some cases very deadly with it as well. So it was a close range or at least short range implement. And then for longer range stuff, they would sling these big rocks out of slingshots as David does with Goliath. It was also used, this club was used to defend the sheep primarily, but it was also used secondarily, but not preferably, it was used as a means of discipline for the sheep. So this shepherd, for instance, could throw this club and hit a wolf. He could also throw this club and bonk a sheep with it. You're one shepherd. You got a flock of, say, 200 sheep, and one sheep over there is headed in a direction that you know is going to be real tough for it. You don't have time to run over there. What do you have? you have this billy club thing that you're good at throwing. And so before long, the sheep knows he's going wrong because he hears a little whistling in the air. And the next thing he knows, bonk. Uh-oh, that must not be the right direction. And that's the way they would herd them back in, out of the reach of the crook. Don't want to throw a rock at it necessarily, but they would throw this club at them and hit them. And that's the way they operate. They would also, when a sheep would continue to stray, they would take this club and they would wrap them on the legs with it. Some cases even breaking their legs. With, by the way, not a tear shed from the shepherd. Because when the sheep got to the place where they had to do that to them, they had to disable them because the sheep was so prone to wander off that even throwing the thing at them wouldn't stop them. So what they would do is they would disable them so that they would have to carry them. Either they would bruise them so badly that they couldn't walk, or they would even break their legs. And it may sound like it's cold-blooded, but either they do that to the sheep or the sheep is going to die before the day's over. So which is worse? Which would you prefer? But we're in the presence of our shepherd, so let's go ahead and tell him what you would prefer. Would you rather him let you die? Or would you rather him rein you in? Go ahead and tell him right now, wherever you are. Just let me die, Jesus, okay? That's your option. Go ahead, and he may not let you do that. Or he can rein you in. Anybody here ever been bonked by the shepherd? You're a sheep. That's a good news, by the way. You're his sheep. Wrapped across the legs, but you know, the iconic picture of the shepherd carrying the sheep, which is, you know, our flannel graph Jesus, and this one over here even more so. It's a beautiful picture, and it's of course illustrative of several things. The fact that Jesus cares for wandering sheep, that he cares for us when we get downtrodden, but we basically relegated this and romanticized this to be something as if this sheep just had a bad day. She was just sick. She was hurt, and I'm not saying that's not possible. But more often than not, when a shepherd is carrying his sheep, it's because he had to knock the legs out from under her. And the reason why he hangs her around his neck, because two things that a sheep needs to know above everything else. He needs to know, or she does, the voice of the shepherd. How better way to learn his voice? And he needs to know, she needs to know, the way of the shepherd. How much better way? So you need to know this. The shepherd's not above knocking your legs out from under you. Is that okay? That may not be your interpretation of Jesus, but that is the Bible. And he is the shepherd. That is the way he runs. And you want him to. You are a sheep. And sheep don't necessarily, going off in a bad direction isn't necessarily disobedience. It's just the sheep are so dumb. They don't even know. And so he'll throw the club over there to get you straight. But then if he does it more than once, he realizes this isn't just a sheep that is just being a sheep. This is a sheep that's stubborn. And so now he's got to go to a level higher. And so maybe you got to be around his neck for a little while. Is that okay? I assure you it's better than the alternative. I can assure you. And let me just say this, because that's her whole point in this thing. There is such great comfort in that. Isn't it great to know, no matter how dumb you are, that your shepherd is going to rein you in? I can't tell you how thankful I am for that. Of all the things that I wanted to do that were in my heart as a young person and as a young adult, and really as an adult too, the things that I wanted to do, the things that I could have done with my life, the directions I could have gone, and the fact that it didn't work out, and in some cases the only reason why it didn't work out, and I will say this, and kids, y'all, can y'all just listen to your iPods for just a second, because I don't want you to hear what I'm about to say. When I was their age, I began slowly but surely to follow God. And the reason why I started following God was not because I had a heart for Jesus. And I'm not saying that because I'm proud of it. I started following God because I got tired of getting bonked in the head. I couldn't get away with nothing. It's almost as if he knew my plans before I made them. Almost, right? Of course he did. I just got tired of getting bonked in the head. I was convinced I couldn't get away with it anymore. I was just like, okay, Jesus, I don't really like this, but I'm going to do what you say. And I found out, I learned to enjoy that. I learned to like that. But I didn't get into it for the right reasons. But I'm so grateful that he's that good a shepherd in my life. And I know that he is that way for you. So you need to know two things that he's working on right now. It's that you know his voice and that you know his way. These are the things that he's pursuing. You're pursuing other stuff on your life. And I'm not saying that necessarily good or bad. I'm just saying these are the things that he's after. This is what he's going for. And so if you want to read into anything that's going on in your life, you need to read that in there. This is what he's trying to accomplish. He wants me to know his voice and know his way. Know his voice and know his way. Going through good times, that's what he's trying to accomplish. Going through bad times, that's what he's trying to accomplish. because you desperately need that, because the sheep needs a shepherd. He cannot be left alone under any circumstances. Absolutely cannot. The sheep don't really know when trouble is coming. Our primary predator as human sheep, we cannot see. We have a shepherd, though, with an effective, who is very formidable with his rod, and so we can trust him. Lots of stuff out there that would eat you up and devour you, but he's protecting us. He's protecting us from that stuff out there. He's protecting us from our own stuff. And there's great comfort in that. Great comfort. So let's move on from the rod to the staff. That's, like I said, the more iconic tool for the shepherd is this long crook thing, pointed thing that the shepherd would use. And where the billy club or the rod was used more for sheep's protection, this long staff was used for their correction. Let me give you some imagery here. Let's say I'm walking in the midst of 150 or 200 sheep, and I got a sheep over here that's not moving, and so what he's doing, he's backing up the line. What do? I take the end of that thing, and I poke him in the rear end. Move on, dude. And that's what he does. No big deal. He's not neither bad nor good. He's just being a sheep. I look over here, and I see a mama sheep, and then five sheep away is the baby sheep. That's not good. So I took the crook end of that thing and I loop it underneath this baby sheep, pick him up and set him down by his mama. No big deal. Mama sheep wasn't doing bad. Baby sheep wasn't doing bad. That's just what shepherds do, you see. Got another sheep that's kind of going a little bit out of the way. Now, I'm not wanting to use the billy club on him. And so I just tap him on the back of the ear with that long staff. Buddy, that's not the right direction. Got another one that's in the front and I need the whole column to stop, you see. And this is the guy that's in the lead. How do I stop him? I take that nook, that noose thing, and I wrap it around his neck. Whoa. No big deal. No big deal. But sheep absolutely need guidance. And that's the imagery that we have, why David says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. There's such great comfort in knowing that we have a shepherd. The shepherd guides us. And hear me carefully, everybody looking at me in the eye. We need guidance. At all times, there is not an issue in your life that is of such small importance that you do not need the guidance of the shepherd in it. Not a single one. We talk about, oh, well, this has happened in my life, and I need to hear Jesus on this, and I need him, and I need, because of the stress that's going on. And I'm not saying that's bad at all. That's great. I'm just saying the other stuff that you don't bring him into, you need to bring him into. The other stuff you're not counseling him with, you need to be counseling him with these things, because you're a sheep. Sheep need guidance on everything, every day, at all times. They need guidance. Unlike most animals, sheep do not know most of the things that they need to know to survive. Let's compare a sheep to a deer. There's not a whole lot of difference, right? Both have fur, both have noses, both have ears. Both have tails, both have hooves, both have legs, both can grow horns, all right? I take a deer and put it out in the wild, he'll be just fine. He has heightened sense of hearing, heightened sense of sight, heightened sense of smell. He's aware of his environment. He knows what predators are after him. He will be just fine. In fact, a deer, a white-tailed deer in the state of Texas, survives inside city limits, lives here on the island. We had one, by the way, drowned itself out here in the surf a couple of years ago because somebody ran it out in the surf. Now, that's not good, but they live everywhere. You take a sheep, though, on the other hand, looks like at least it has all the same parts somewhat. You put it out in the wild, even for a night, dead. Why? Because God did not create it with the same capabilities as he created a deer. A deer doesn't need a shepherd. A sheep does. So in the world of animals, spiritually speaking, we're not deer. You're out running on your own, jumping fences and doing what you want to do. You're about to get killed. It's about to be over. You're not a deer. You're a sheep. And a sheep has to have a shepherd. It's not a big deal as long as you don't think you're something you're not. You're a sheep and you cling close to the shepherd. Awesome. You're going to be just fine. You're going to be better than fine. But if you're a sheep and think you're a deer and don't cling close to the shepherd, oh boy, this is an emergency. It truly is. You see a sheep out there, which every human being is, without a shepherd, and I'm telling you guys, it's an emergency. It's an emergency for a person to be outside of Christ. Do we not know that? We're not just talking about heaven and hell, but indeed it is. That's the biggest issue. It's an emergency for a person who is created to be a sheep to think and live as if they are a deer. It's an emergency. It is so dangerous. They're headed down a dark path, and it's going to be extremely difficult for them. They have to be close to the shepherd. So that's our emphasis. Pushing close into the shepherd. Closer and closer. You show me a person who's growing in Christ. I've already said that. That person is going to be close. They'll tell you right off the bat, oh, how much they need the Savior every single day, every moment of the day. Show me a Christian, on the other hand, who can quote a bunch of Bible to me, but does not walk with a shepherd, and oh, boy, it isn't good. They're going to make a wreck out of their life and other people's lives. Just what happens. It's just what happens. It is indeed an emergency. We have a shepherd. The most important thing about sheep, most important things they need to know, they don't know. They need green grass, but they don't know how to get to it. They need quiet waters, but they don't know how to get to them. They need to be led down right paths, but they don't know how to choose right paths. They don't know, listen, and they won't know. You can't educate a sheep. They don't know. And they won't know, and most importantly, hear me carefully, they don't need to know. Sheep don't need to know. Why? Because they have a shepherd, you see. You can't educate them anyway, so a sheep without a shepherd is just dead. But a sheep who doesn't know, and of course won't know, because that's the nature of a sheep, but has a shepherd, it's going to be just fine. So in the world that we live in, thank God we have a shepherd. Most important things about our existence, we don't know. Hear me carefully, everybody looking at me. We can't know, and most importantly, we don't need to know. We have a shepherd. We have a shepherd. There are a lot of questions you have in your life. I hope you're asking the shepherd those questions. I hope you're not coming to Pastor Bill. If anything, Pastor Bill points you to the shepherd. I hope you're not going somewhere else. Because the sheep absolutely has to have a shepherd in their lives. You're not going to know. You're not going to be able to know, and you don't need to know because there is a shepherd. Let me give you a couple examples from Scripture in conclusion this morning. Rod and the staff, the guidance of God that he gives to us. The disciples in the New Testament were left with a daunting task. Jesus resurrected after 3 days, right? Stayed with them for 40 straight days, and then he ascended into heaven and effectively, seemingly left them all by themselves. They were left in charge of the world's most important institution from that time until this day, which is called the church. That church is important because of its mission, which is reaching people and reconciling people, people who are lost and headed to hell, with God. The most important task that there is on the planet Earth, and Jesus left, if you will, forgive me, a bunch of knuckleheads in charge of that business. Uneducated, ne'er-do-wells, truly. No disrespect to these guys. They would say, amen, Brother Bill, keep on preaching. That's what we were. He left them in charge of this. He left them in charge also of writing, as it turns out, the New Testament. How were they going to accomplish that? They did not know. They were not going to know. Most importantly, they didn't need to know. Look at what he says. John 14:26. Jesus didn't leave them alone. You don't leave sheep by themselves, guys. You don't ever do that. You won't have any sheep when you get back. He leaves and leaves the helper, as he says here, in charge. The helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all the things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. They didn't need to know. Impossible task. Unbelievable. Dawning. They didn't know. They didn't need to know. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He's going to shepherd you through all this. Don't give glory to these guys. And we call them saints, and they indeed are. They're just regular knuckleheads like us. But because of the guidance of the Holy Spirit and their willingness to follow, you have the continuation of the New Testament church, the writing of the New Testament inspired by God. And no way these guys could have accomplished it. The shepherd did it through them. The shepherd did. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. Look at this one. My message, this is Paul speaking to the Corinthian church, telling about his ministry and ministering to places. He was out there by himself. Talk about a frontier ministry. This guy was out on the frontier for sure. Corinth, one of the worst places in the ancient world. My message and my preaching, you said, were not in their case with persuasive words of wisdom. Paul was multiple doctorate degrees in the Bible, effectively. Smart guy. He didn't use any of that on him because he said, I don't believe in that stuff anymore. But in the demonstration, notice, of the Spirit and power, he said, I didn't come in knowing anything. Because I can't know anything. I'm not going to know anything. And I don't need to know anything. Because I have the Spirit guiding me, you see. He dwelt upon and relied upon the presence of the shepherd continuously. He had the daunting task of taking the gospel to a totally pagan world by himself in many cases. How did he possibly do it? He would tell you right now if you stand here, I didn't know. I wasn't going to know. And I didn't need to know. The Spirit guided me. He didn't refer me to myself. He referred me to him. I was left in charge of this shepherd. The shepherd was left in charge of me. And so I have this task, but God accomplished it through me because I listened to the guidance of the shepherd. I listened to his crook. When his rod hit me, I paid attention to it. Let me ask you this question in conclusion. What task do you have before you? What task are you dealing with? Sorry about that. What task are you facing? Let me ask you parents, you raising kids. How do you raise your kids? I remember before we had kids, I was an expert at raising kids before I had kids. And then I had them. And then I began to realize, I'm a real sheep at this. I really need guidance. I realized that I didn't know, that I wasn't going to know, and I didn't need to know. I had the shepherd to guide me. I had his spirit. I had his word to teach me, to help me be the parent and the dad that I needed to be. Anybody have teenagers here? Boy, if I could have talked to you 5 years ago about how to raise teenagers, what would you have said? I know how I was before I got teenagers. I knew all about them. I had them all figured out, and then I got them. And then I realized I didn't know. I wasn't going to know. I didn't need to know. I'm a sheep, and I need guidance from the shepherd, you see. How do we live in this life as Christians? We're going through incredible turmoil here as a nation, and I don't know that it's going to get better. It may get a whole lot worse. How do we conduct ourselves at a time like this? I don't know. I'm not going to know. I don't need to know. I need to follow the shepherd. So much more as the times get worse, the closer I need to get to the shepherd. I'm surrounded by predators. I'm in a dark place. If I've ever been close to the shepherd, it needs to be right now, doesn't it? I got no business walking out without the shepherd. Day or night. Moment by moment. I gotta have the shepherd in my life. Anybody says that's true about Pastor Bill, you say, amen, Pastor Bill needs that because he's a big old dummy. That's what he is. He doesn't know. Not going to know. Doesn't need to know. Decisions we're making about career. Here's young people. You're ready. You take out your earplugs now. Who are you going to marry? Ooh, that's a good question, isn't it? What career are you going to take? I'm telling you right now, you don't know. You're not going to know. You don't need to know. You need to walk with the shepherd. The only way you're going to make through this, you're headed toward a bunch of trials and very difficult decisions. And the most difficult decisions you're going to make, biggest decisions you're going to make in your life, you're going to make when you're young. If you don't learn to walk with the shepherd now, you're going to live with those decisions, which are probably going to be regrets for the rest of your life. I'm just telling you, I can speak on behalf of most of the adults here. They'll tell you this. I'm telling you the truth. So you absolutely have to walk with the shepherd. You have to. You have to know his voice. You need to know his ways. You don't need to know anything else. You just need to know the shepherd. You need to hear him, and you need to be walking with him daily, 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 moment by moment. That's why, like I said, it is an emergency when someone does not have a shepherd. Oh, I got a sheep over here without a shepherd? That's not good. I got a child. I got a shepherd. I got a sheep over here who actually knows the shepherd, his Savior, but he calls him shepherd, but he doesn't do what he says. Well, I wish I could change it for him. I think we should listen for the whistling of the rod through the air, right? The bonking on the legs. But it's coming. It's coming. We all the sheep end up in the same place, by the way, just so you know. The stubborn sheep, the determined sheep, the sheep that don't know what they're doing, they all end up in the same place. Why? Because it's not the sheep that get them there. It's the shepherd. It's all about the shepherd. It's all about him. So if you're underneath the guardianship of the shepherd, you placed yourself and trusted him as the Savior of your life. And whether you're following the shepherd or not, he's going to take you to that place. It'd be better, though, if when you're picking, that you go ahead and pick humility instead of having it forced on you. You follow me? That you pick obedience instead of having it forced on you. Got me? That you pick servanthood and love of the things that are right instead of having it forced on you, pushed on you, because it's going to be. You're going to end up in the same place because you have a good shepherd. We do, guys. We have a great shepherd. I'm going to ask if you would bow your heads and close your eyes with me, and let's just think about this for just a moment. So I call him shepherd, but I don't do what he says. I call him shepherd, but I don't know his ways. I don't know his voice. I've got myself a problem. I call him shepherd, but I want to run off on my own. And I get mad at him for knocking my legs out from under me. No, he's a good shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He's faithful to his sheep. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that you are that to us. As David says, oh boy, he's my shepherd, and I'm a sheep. That's what we are, Lord. We're sheep, and you're a shepherd. Thank you for being good to us. Thank you for caring for us. Thank you for reining us in when we needed it. Thank you for knocking our legs out from under us when we needed it, God. We're so grateful for that. Find great comfort in your rod, great comfort in that staff that has guided us and taken us through a myriad of bad decisions that we could have made and put us in a place where we look smart, but it's not us, Lord. It's you. It's you. Thank you so much, Lord, for speaking to us. Teach us, God. Help us to walk close with you. Rein us in, Lord. Keep us close, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.